some of y'all may know that my feelings about the sermon part I call just bonus time when you're at church. The important parts of why we come are singing and celebrating and taking the Lord's Supper. That's why we're here, singing praises to Him and showing our love and remembering the sacrifices that they've done. So the next 20 minutes, bonus time. So look at that. Maybe we'll get something out of this portion. So recently I developed a newfound remembrance of the title of our sermon today is Living on Borrowed Time. Each of us at one point in our lives always hit that moment where we realize life is eventually going to come to an end. I'm not sure each of you probably remember where it is, or some of you probably haven't even hit that yet. You look at our young Jenna over here, that's not even a thought in her mind. But for me, I can tell you when I turned 40 that day, I looked at life and said, wow, on average, my life is half over. Unless you're JD, and then you're, you know, I'm not even close. He is 23 years above the United States national average now. He just had a birthday last week, 93 years old. I wasn't here, I'm sorry, but I was taking Connor to college. But 93, wow, what an impressive milestone. But we all have these moments where we reconnect with those thoughts of that ending, what it's going to look like. I was, some of you may know that last week, we lost Jennifer's grandmother, the bright young age of 86. Someone would also live well past the average of a long life. But afterwards, I was talking to somebody, and we were talking about Jennifer's grandmother's past, and he says, I am scared to death of dying. And I was like, wow. He says, I know I'm going to go straight to hell. And I was like, wow. You know, just that thought that he's just in that mindset of, I'm scared to death of dying because I know where I'm going. And I just looked at him, and I just so fixed it. Seems simple enough. Go fix it. If you know that's where you're going to go, take the time and fix it. And he goes, well, how do I fix it? I said, well, you can start by reconnecting with Christ. That's where you start. Go to church. Take a few moments every day. But reconnect. And he had that look in his eyes and said, yeah, I probably need to do that. And I haven't had a conversation with him since. I don't know which way he's going to go, but he started with that. At least maybe just planted that seed was enough. We're going to look at John chapter 14 today, and we're going to look at a lot of verses today. But I wanted you to think about to make sure that you have that baseline, so you have that remembrance of eventually this part's going to end, and eternity is a long time. And you're going to get that opportunity today to remember that if you got your path on the right place to where you want to go at the end. Ben Franklin said, lost time is never found again. That's an extremely true statement said a long time ago. The earth spins round and round and round, and the day is gone. You can't get it back. It's over. There's so many hours in a day, and there's only so many days in your life. If we look at Psalm 139, verse 16, says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Each of us only gets a certain amount of time on this earth. I mentioned that the average lifespan is 70 years. And I, just in my own thought, I mean, I'm getting ready to be, when am I going to be, Richard? 47. Just given our time, we're 6 weeks apart. But I'm about to be 47, so plus 3, 50, plus 20, so 23 years. I'm going to be at my average, you know. I hope I live longer than that. Richard's probably going to beat me, but I don't know. So the Bible teaches us to live your life as brief and as quickly as passing. David writes in Psalm 39:4, he says, show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You can read early in Psalm 90:12, he says, teach us to number our days all right, that we may gain heart wisdom. Back in 2015, there was this new electronic device that they see where there was going to be the thing going forward. Everybody needed to have one. It was an end-of-life device. It was kind of like the Fitbits you see right now. It was kind of like a watch. You put it on your wrist, and it was supposed to give you an estimate based on your heart rate, your pulse, of estimate when the end of your life was. But who wants to know that? Think how terrible that is. Like, well, 5 minutes, that's all I got left, you know, based on this device. That's just, so nobody bought it, and the company, you know, went defunct, and, you know, that was the end of it. It was just the morbid thought of knowing. Nobody knows, and, you know, Jesus kind of told us that, and nobody knows how long they're going to be, when the day is. He said, only he knows. But he said, is the first step, our first step to making the time count, ironically, is to build a relationship with Him. Because we know that how much a short time we have here, and we don't want to be that guy at the end where I was talking about earlier that said, I don't want to die tomorrow because I know I'm going to go straight to hell. Just don't understand that thought process. You know, we don't know where we're going to go, but we know we want to have a chance to where we want to go. So, there's a couple. So there's a time for everything, so manage your time excessively well. My best friend likes to think your time should be very structured, down to the minute. You can do that extremely well. I like to live by, what would you say, the minute? Second? Structure in me, I just kind of fly by and just, if something comes up, we just handle it and goes off. Richie, on the other hand, has got to have a step-by-step. He has a calendar for everything. And if something new comes up, it goes on the calendar and repeats for the next 23 years, right? For at least the next 23 years, as long as he's doing it. So if we look at Ecclesiastes, there were some extremely important things he's written in there a long time ago. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. That was such a beautiful poetry. I want to read it again. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time. There's a right time for every season, for everything. We just need the wisdom to match the right activities with the right times. With that point, I think when you're doing a schedule, when you're going to start scheduling your life out, he's asked us to do a couple things if you're going to write it down. The first one is seek God first. Seek God first in your schedule. If there's a time for everything, so you need to manage your time well, this begins with prayer and a word of God. Start your day in making your priorities line up with God's priorities. Because our God is a jealous God. I think he's told us that. And he wants us to reflect on him, not only daily, but at the start of our day. That can be through prayer, it can be through scripture reading, it can be through a timeout, it can be just a special time when you start your day. It says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. It tells us, seek God first. The second point of this is find God's balance in your time. We also need to be careful that we do not import our cultural values of time. In the U.S., a lot of people across the world and other countries like to say, we're really, really in how we like to manage our time. If you think, we think time, how do we manage time? In the business world, it's how much can I squeeze in the next hour? How much can I get done in the next hour? So, because we're always trying to get ahead. If you, in France, they have a culture of vacation. They're trying to get more days off. And we're trying to see how can we squeeze a little bit more out of the next hour, get ahead. And some people would say that's completely screwed up. You know, there are times when productivity can be the right goal. But if you go through this calendar and you're trying to squeeze every little minute into work and you don't find time for Him, where's the disconnect on what He's asked us to do? Because I mentioned earlier, He said, seek God first and His righteousness, and all things will be given unto you. I read a little story in researching this. There was a preacher that went to, was doing some work in another country, and he shows up, said church time started at 10 o'clock. So he shows up as being a solid American, understanding, as J.D. used to say, if you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. Right? J.D. would always say, if you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. Right? 30 minutes? Woo! If you're not 30 minutes early, you're late? And he lived that way his whole life, and I love it. So he gets there 15 minutes early, 9:45, service starts at 10, so perfect. He gets there, him and his wife, and they're the only ones there at 10 o'clock. So he starts sitting there for 15 and 20 minutes, and finally a couple of people show up, and they start talking, and they said, he finally went up and asked them, so what time service start? And they said, 10 o'clock. Well, what time service really start? When everybody gets here, Philly. But it's just, their priorities were not on this time, this structure. Their priorities where they were coming together is just to celebrate and honor God that day. It wasn't about being here at church for this hour. How much time I got left? I'm just kidding. So that structure is, where are your priorities? What are we going to build into this day? If today is supposed to be a day of relaxation, it's also a day about celebrating the first day of the week. Third point in this, and the days are evil, so be careful. Man, what does that mean? So you can't be at church 7 days a week, but the days are evil. You know, we know that the nighttime is evil, right? That's what we read. We know it's dark. We try to produce light because we know there's a lot of evils lurking out there. But if you think about the evils that lurk during the day, what can go on? If you think about who do you surround yourself with during the day? Sometimes where you're at, you have to surround yourself with different types of people. But do you spend times making sure you get yourself out of situations that are going to put you in a bad situation, or where you can sin? Who do you surround yourself with? If you look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15-17, it gives us some guidance. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And because the days are evil, God urges you to be careful how you live. There are three things I want to see from these verses in Ephesians. The first thing is, live as wise, not as unwise. Paul writes in Romans 13, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in drunkenness, not in sexual immorality, not in debauchery, not in dissension, not in jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of sinful nature. These commands for right living during the day are extremely important. If you think of all those situations, most of them can happen during the day. So surrounding yourself with the right people is extremely important. Making the most of every opportunity. So, man, what cultures don't... Making the most of every opportunity. Where do you spend your time? You know, we think work first, work second, work third, work fourth. Somewhere in there, we're trying to make more money. And sometimes we get home. But if you think of where our priorities should lay, spending time with family first. You know, if you think of mantras in the military, U.S. military, I think one of them got it correctly. It says, God, family, country. God, family, country. Love that. Love that statement. Make sure you follow it. So, call it like I called the sermon here first. Time is a bonus. Our time here is a bonus. Every time, especially every time you get after 70 years, well, it could be a really long bonus. But it could be for some. The oldest living person in the U.S., I had to look this up. Does anybody know how old she was? In the world? The world currently today, the longest living person on record is 122 years old. That's a bonus. That's a lot of bonus. And by the way, she smoked until the day she died. It doesn't make it right, but let's talk about that. But the three things I want to look at here based on the time you have here and where I want you to spend your time going forward as a thought. The first of all, I want you to spend time with family and friends. I want you to spend time with the ones that you build relationships with, that you can reflect your beliefs, and the ones that value your beliefs. Like coming here to church on Sunday morning, you're surrounding yourself with people that have the same values as you do. They believe in God. They know where they want to go in the end. There's no better way to communicate than spending time with people. There was an article that came out the other day that a 13-year-old boy was in Fox News, but he was separated from his family for 2 months. Came back together with him, and he stuck to his mom like a toddler. And when they asked him, why did you do that, he says, I can't. I'm trying to make up the time I lost. And spend time with your kids. They're here. Our son left for back to college this morning at 9 o'clock. And was just watching him grow up. And I'm like, where did this happen? How did he leave? Where did he go? How did he get to be 18? It's amazing. Spend time with family and friends. Secondly, learn to live in the present. Don't waste time worrying about the future or regretting about the past. You can't fix what happened yesterday, and you don't know what's happening going forward. All you can do is focus on what you're supposed to be doing today and living it that way. We don't know what tomorrow is. We don't know how long we have. We don't know how much time we have. But we know that if we live in the present and live as God asked us to, that we have that chance to be with Him in the end. But if we live like we're not worried about tomorrow, then tomorrow can come up really fast. Thirdly, you know, God said He wants you to enjoy the good things while you're here. And not worry about things. In Ecclesiastes 9:10, he says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you're going, there's neither work nor planning nor wisdom nor knowledge. It stops. Enjoy life. You can't forget to live while you're living on borrowed time. So what I want you to do going forward, as I finish up our bonus time for the day, the first thing I want you to remember it, at some point, no matter how old you are, you're going to realize that you've reached the halfway point. You're going to know that. And knowing that, what are you going to do with the rest of your time? You may be 3/4 of the way. You may be 90% of the way. But wherever you are, have the knowledge of thinking about how much time you have left. But secondly, I want you to not be like that guy I talked to earlier who says, I'm not ready to die. I know I'm going to hell. So fix it. Start today. Fix it. I want you to find time every single day because our God is a jealous God. And He wants you to find time for Him every day. If you haven't figured out how that fits into your schedule, fix it. So there's a part of Him. And I want you to remember what's important in life. Not squeezing an extra 5 minutes into a work day. Squeeze an extra 5 minutes in the people you're supposed to be spending time with. Either your kids, your grandkids, your brother, your sister, your parents. Find a moment to spend it with. And don't be like that guy who says, I don't want to die tomorrow. I'm going to go to hell. Make sure you're worried about tomorrow. But make sure you're creating a place for you in the end. Because you never know when that time's going to end. Because every one of us is living on borrowed time. That's fine. Dear Heavenly Father, we never know when our time is going to come. Only you know that. Our job is to show in the time you have given us here that we love you with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds. Our job here is, as we enjoy the things that you have given us to enjoy in this short time, that we also remember that we are put here to honor the gifts that you have given each and every one of us. We are here to show our love in our short time for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we know we struggle with making sure we find time with you. And we ask that you help us schedule us so we know that we can spend that daily time to honor you. Christ in you. We're going to sing an invitation hymn now. And it's designed, if you haven't, to recommit your life sometimes, because maybe you haven't been baptized yet. We offer a chance to come seek eternity with our Lord, with the start of baptism that he asked us to do. And if you have something you need to talk about, we're here to offer that time as well. So we stand up here this morning and we're going to sing a final song.